listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Good morning. Welcome to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio 950 AM. I'm Father Greg Sackwitz, pastor of St. Mary Parish in Evanston. The time is exactly 9 o'clock on this Monday morning, co-hosting... Graziano Marcheschi.
Let's let the
director
guess.
Of Ministerial Resource Development for the Archdiocese of Chicago. Graz, I had your name, but I still don't have the title. It'll take me probably another couple of years. So I wasn't.
Who is that man behind the screen?
I wasn't going to make you wear a name tag. And I see that our engineer Michael May is going to give us a hard time today. Or is he going to give me a hard time because I made a comment about his haircut.
He's a rapper, you know.
I said his wife got new Tupperware.
Watch it, he's bigger than you and younger.
Yeah, the younger part is true. So how was your weekend, Gratz?
Good. Kind of, you know.
Not too much going on.
Not too much going on.
You've got enough going on Monday through Friday. And it's hard to believe that Wednesday begins the Lenten journey, Ash Wednesday.
It's about time. It's late this year.
It's incredibly late. In fact, many people ask me, how is Easter determined? You know, because it's a moving date, unlike Christmas, December 25th. And I always say it's the first Sunday after the first full moon after the spring equinox. So it's the first Sunday after the first full moon after the spring equinox. So the earliest Easter can be is, I think, March 23rd to 24th, and the absolute latest is April 25th, and it falls this year on April 24th.
Whoa.
So at your next gathering.
I need a dispensation from you, Father, though, because Lent begins on Wednesday, and I really want to indulge myself on Friday and buy an iPad, too.
Well, I guess you'll have to just postpone it.
No, I've been waiting for a year.
Until May, I'm not into computers. So we get into our program here. We have with us in studio, Adrian Curry, Program Director for Catholic Relief Services, joins us to discuss Operation Rice Bowl, an outstanding program, the official Lenten program of the Catholic Relief Services. Adrian will also talk about her recent trip to Washington, D.C., and the annual USCCB sponsored Catholic Social Ministry Gathering. Finally, Catholic Relief Services deployment around the globe is another topic, including what's going on with Catholic Relief Services, the staff in Egypt. So, Adrian, welcome to Catholic Community Faith. How are you, Adrian?
I'm good. How are you, Father?
Adrian is one of the grand dames of the Archdiocese. How long have you been around, Adrian?
This is my 14th year.
See?
In Condom.
14th year with the Archdiocese, mm-hmm. with Catholic Relief Services,
yes.
In terms of the Operation
Yes,
Rice
I am
Bowl.
The Rice Bowl Queen.
14 years.
14
Maybe
years.
Let our listeners know.
You know, I do a little amateur magic, and I have a rice bowl trick.
Oh.
Where this little bowl just keeps producing more and more rice.
Okay.
See?
That's a good one. I
That's
like that.
That's what you do.
To help feed the poor.
You keep making... Empty rice bowls get filled up.
I try.
By invoking people's generosity.
I try real hard.
You're a magic worker.
What is the history of Operation Rice Bowl? How far does it go back, Adrian?
Well, it goes back to 1975 in Allentown, Pennsylvania. It was meant for communities to come together, break bread, and demonstrate that the nourishment we receive at the table of the Eucharist can be shared with all members of our human family through prayer, fasting, learning, and giving. And so Catholic Relief Services adopted it, and it has become the official Lenten program of Catholic Relief Services.
Now, the thing is, do you know how much money was raised for Operation Rice Bowl a year ago, like in the Archdiocese of Chicago?
I can tell you to the penny.
Okay.
$221,088.61.
And that's in a very tough economy.
Yes.
To raise a portion of a million
quarter. That was during Haiti. You know, people were still giving for Haiti.
Big time to CRS.
That's impressive. Now, where is this money primarily gathered? Is it at schools?
Schools and parishes, both. We have more parishes that do rice bowl than schools. So it's I wouldn't say evenly split, but there are more parishes than schools.
Now, how does Operation Rice Bowl work? Take us through, like, with a parish or a school. How does the whole thing work?
So they order the materials from me, and they either display them for Ash Wednesday or the first Sunday of Lent. The materials include a calendar, the actual rice bowl, and the calendar's in the rice bowl. And they're in English, Spanish, and some of the materials are in Polish now, thanks to Father Casimir of our own archdiocese. And people follow the calendar. So it may say, for every sink you have, put in a quarter. For every toilet you have, put in a quarter. The calendar has the principles of Catholic social teaching on it. They have recipes for each week of Lent and different activities for your family to do.
How much would you have to put in if you have an iPad?
A lot, Graz. A lot.
That could be one way I assuage my guilt.
Mm-hmm.
Graz, right. Get your checkbook ready.
All right.
But, you know, it's interesting is if someone were to say, I will put $2 a day aside or a dollar mm-hmm. or I would spend in a week at Starbucks, let's say.
They have that on the
money,
calendar, too.
Do they really? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do they really? That money really does add up, you know, with the nickels and dimes and mm-hmm. dollars. And sometimes we are unaware of that, you know, what difference does my 50 cents make or my dollar make? It makes a lot when you start adding up over a Lenten period.
And it makes a lot of difference in a foreign country.
Oh.
Especially a poor country where a dollar, they don't even make a dollar a day. So a dollar, U.S. dollar, will make a lot of money.
Yeah, I think that's the part that we forget. You know, it's not like a corporate matching program. You give a dollar, your corporation matches mm-hmm. it with a dollar or two. Well, here, it's built in. You know, you give a dollar and you send it to a poor country, that dollar might be worth 10 times as much as it's worth here.
Sure. And then at the end of Rice Bowl, 75% goes to the countries designated. 25% stays here in the Archdiocese to combat hunger here. So food pantries and shelters get the 25%. They can either, a parish can designate their 25% to go to their own food pantry or a sharing parish food pantry. They can send the whole amount to me and then I designate the 25% because I give grants at the end of Lent to food pantries.
So with $221,000 collected last year, one-fourth of that remained here in the Archdiocese.
No, that was what we sent to CRS. We sent about $50,000 to the food pantries.
Okay, we're going to go to break here on Catholic Community Faith, and I'm Father Greg Sackwitz, along with Grazia Marcheschi, and our guest is Adrian Curry, the Program Director for Catholic Relief Services. For the Operation Rice Bowl. The time is coming up on 9:09. Our phone number, 312-255-8408. Stay with us. We'll be back right after a break.
The annual Catholic Appeal is underway in parishes across the Archdiocese of Chicago. Your gift to the annual appeal helps sustain Catholic schools, religious education, ministerial formation, and initiatives for life, peace, and justice.
And the appeal serves people worldwide whose lives are devastated by natural disasters, illness, and war.
All funds raised are carefully spent to do God's work. Please make a pledge to the 2011 annual Catholic Appeal.
Your generosity will make a difference in the lives of many.
Join the movement to run the 2011 Bank of America Chicago Marathon on Sunday, October 9th as a pledge runner for Team Catholic Charities. As a member of Team Catholic Charities, you'll be running to help our neighbors in need of food, clothing, and shelter, necessities for everyday survival. To join or sponsor the Catholic Charities Marathon team or committee, call 312-655-7912. That's 312-655-7912. Visit us online at catholiccharities.net/Chicago Marathon. We'll see you at the finish line.
Welcome back to Catholic Communion of Faith, Monday morning in Chicago. Thank you for spending this part of your morning with us. Graziano Marcheschi co-hosting with the one and only anchor, Father Greg Sackowitz. And today we're speaking with Adrienne Curry, a grande dame of the Archdiocese of Chicago, lending her talents to the efforts of our Peace and Justice Office now for a lot of years. Not too recent graduate, but fairly recent graduate of Catholic Theological Union.
And I'm still a student at Catholic Theological.
Working on your D.Min. A very learned lady.
What degree did you just pick up?
I'm working on my doctorate in ministry now.
At CTU.
I'm taking my last physical class.
And then you do now. The paper?
Yes.
Well, you're close.
Yeah.
Well, good for you.
Yeah. Okay. What is your topic?
Racism in the Archdiocese of Chicago.
Excellent. Okay. Our prayers are with you, Adrienne.
Thank you. I'll need them.
So, Adrienne, talk about, you're in charge of Operation Rice Bowl, and we've already said that it's the official Lenten program of Catholic Relief Services. But tell us why it's the Lenten program. What's the connection between Rice Bowl and Lent?
Well, Operation Rice Bowl involves prayer, using the materials you pray for global solidarity and the challenges of the poor around the world. There's fasting with the recipes for simple meals and suggestions help people express their solidarity with their brothers and sisters overseas, and learning. There are all kinds of educational resources and activities that incorporate CRS's overseas operations so people can learn what CRS does overseas and how they can help. And the giving is putting the money in the rice bowls.
When we talk about Lent as a time of prayer, fasting, almsgiving. And I really like here on the sheet you provided us, Adrienne, Operation Rice Bowl is prayer, fasting, learning, giving, development.
Mm-hmm. Development helps people help themselves. It's kind of Catholic Relief Services is the overseas arm from the Bishop's Conference. And just like Catholic Charities helps people with their development here, or Catholic Campaign for Human Development, CRS works on development, helping people improve their lives, helping them develop their own capacities so they don't have to rely on others for their welfare.
Tell us a little bit about CRS itself. Operation Rice Bowl is a component within CRS. Mm-hmm. It's one of my favorite charities to give to, that and Catholic Charities. Help us gain a better understanding of Catholic Relief Services.
Well, overseas, CRS has been involved, has been established since 1943, since after World War II. And we're in over 100 countries around the world. Most countries we've been in for more than 50 years. And they help with development programs, health projects, agricultural training and development projects, education, water and sanitation projects, and peace building. Some of the health projects include HIV/AIDS, tuberculosis, and malaria treatment. We're the largest distributor of the president's PEPFAR initiative for HIV and AIDS around the world. The Gates Foundation gives money to that.
You know, it's really very interesting. When there is a catastrophe in a particular country, mm-hmm. you'll always hear about CRS, about giving donations to mm-hmm. Catholic Relief Services. I mean, most recent, a year ago, January, with Haiti, the devastating earthquake.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Graz and Adrienne, people were phenomenally generous
yes.
in sending money. But CRS was right there,
And we raised over $3 million for Haiti. I'm still getting checks for Haiti.
That's from the Archdiocese of Chicago.
Yes.
I mean, over $3 million.
Yes.
That's a staggering amount. And that's just from one city.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, other agencies were collecting for the earthquake victims. But it seems like CRS is so reliable and so good and trustworthy that the money was pouring. And you hear about an earthquake, you hear about a flood, and CRS is there. And they've been in existence then really during World War II.
Mm-hmm.
That's 1943.
You know, Greg, that reliability, I think, is really the key. You know, those of us with limited resources, you want to get the most bang for your buck. So if you're going to give something, you want to make sure that the majority of what you've given goes to the cause, not to the administration of the organization. And that's why I trust CRS and I trust Catholic Charities, because I know that in both those organizations, very little goes to maintaining the organization itself,
mm-hmm.
and most of it goes to the people in need.
Yeah, do you have stories, Adrian, where you know, families get involved in Operation Rice Bowl? And see, it's one thing just to give money without thinking about it, without reflecting about it, but Operation Rice Bowl really is an opportunity for families together, for parents to teach their children about the value of giving to those that have less. So it's more than just tossing money into a box, but they can pray through it,
learn
by it, and see that. I think that's the key. Say something about that.
There are a lot of people who tell me that as a family, they sit down, they may prepare the rice bowl meal for the week, and it's a simple meal, truly a simple meal. Maybe beans and rice of some kind, you know, with the seasoning of the country. And they sit down and they pray and they put their money into the rice bowl right there at the dinner table and pray the prayers and get involved that way. And it makes Lent a more prayerful experience.
Which I think is just, you know, phenomenal. It's something by doing, learning, and families who have done this for years, you know, from their little toddlers are now in grammar school or high school. And college has been going back on since 1974. And in the work you do with the Operation Rice Bowl, what is your biggest frustration or obstacle with Operation Rice Bowl?
That everyone doesn't participate.
Okay.
We don't have...
You're looking for 100%.
I've always been looking for 100% participation, and we just don't have it.
Yeah. You know, what you were just saying about the simple meal with the family, I think parents need to realize that when they do something like that, they're doing two good works at the same time. They're setting money aside for the needy in another country,
mm-hmm.
but they're really teaching their children such an important lesson, a life lesson about their connection to others, their responsibility for others, that we're all one family, that we're all members of the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't even put one of those above the other. They're
no.
both critically important.
They are.
And in terms of, you know, we think we have poverty here, and we do, but other countries, you know, beyond our boundaries, incredible poor conditions that, you know, I've been in a few situations where we've seen the poor. Now, we know we certainly have our poor
mm-hmm.
in the U.S. and Chicago.
We
I'm not downplaying that at all.
We have safety nets here to help
yeah.
the poor. In other countries, they don't have those safety nets. I've been to see CRS projects in three different countries, and the poverty is just overwhelming. I've never seen such poverty.
With no safety nets.
With no safety nets.
We're going to go to a break here on Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio, 9:50 a.m. The time is 9:18 on this Monday morning. Our phone number, 312-255-8408. Maybe a question for our guest, Adrian Curry, regarding the Catholic Operation Rice Bowl. And co-host with me this morning is Graziano Marcheschi. Stay with us. We'll be back right after a break.
Pope John Paul II is on the fast track to sainthood. One of the major steps is beatification. Now, on May 1st of this year, you can attend the beatification ceremony of Pope John Paul II in St. Peter's Square. A wonderful pilgrimage to Rome, sponsored by the Catholic New World, is being planned at a very reasonable cost. The trip includes the beatification ceremony, a private mass with Cardinal Francis George, and lots of sightseeing, including visits to the Vatican Museum and the Sistine Chapel. Go to the Archdiocesan website at www.archchicago.org and click on Pilgrimage to Rome for all the details. That's www.archchicago.org and click on Pilgrimage to Rome. It's your chance to experience Rome while celebrating the beatification of Pope John Paul II with Catholics from around the world.
Hi, it's Drew Mariani here. Hey guys, are you feeling disconnected? Are you struggling at home or work? Are you looking to ignite your faith again? Then join me and hundreds of other men for the 2011 Chicago Men's Conference on Saturday, March 19th at the Marriott Oakbrook. Joining me will be His Eminence Cardinal Francis George, Sean Forrest, and former New York Giant Chris Godfrey. Plus, you'll hear from other men on how the Holy Spirit has changed their lives. Register now at CatholicMenOfChicago.org. That's CatholicMenOfChicago.org. Hope to see you March 19th.
Welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith. You're listening to us on Relevant Radio AM 950. It's Monday morning, 9:20 a.m. Thanks for listening. Graziano Marcheschi with Father Greg Sakowicz, talking with Adrian Curry of Catholic Relief Services here within the Archdiocese of Chicago. Adrian, you mentioned earlier about safety nets. I thought, hey, that could be your next campaign, you know, Rice Bowl followed by safety net. I think that's a compelling image, that here the poor have a safety net. It may not always catch everybody.
Right.
But the possibility is there.
Yes.
In a lot of countries, there just is nothing.
There's nothing.
There's
absolutely nothing.
We get to be the safety net.
Yes.
Through our generosity, and
yes,
that's a critical role. So, but I understand that you recently visited the nation's capital.
Yes, I did.
What were you doing there?
Well, I went for the Catholic Social Ministry Gathering, which is an annual event every year. Social justice people have their wraparound meetings that Thursday and Friday and Saturday before, and then the event starts on Sunday with Mass. CRS, CCHD, St. Vincent de Paul, Catholic Charities, all those kinds of people have their meetings. The Roundtable Association of Social Ministry, Social Action Directors.
What was the theme for this year?
Were
some general talks or topics?
Well, there were only three
keynote
asks.
Mm-hmm.
And the point of the social ministry gathering, we learn what's important to the bishops' conference. We learn and then we advocate for those issues and go up to Capitol Hill. So we went to see Senator Durbin. We always meet with him. We didn't see Kirk, but we left packets of information with all of our Congress people. Every one of them, all 19. So we had a perfect record for the first time. But the three topics were poverty, the budget, and not putting the cuts on the backs of the poor domestically or internationally, and then health care, the Protect Life Act. So those were the three.
And you said about 300 people from across the country.
Yes.
Were in attendance, and about 15 from the state of Illinois, and you were leading the Illinois delegation.
Yes.
The thing is, coming away from that meeting, what was tangible that you can take away from that meeting in terms of, you met with people, you dropped off material? And I just know that sometimes in the area of social justice, it can be so difficult because you're trying to change the very structures, which are so slow to happen.
Justice takes time. It's easy to give that dollar in the Rice Bowl for charity.
Which is important.
Which is very important.
Distributive
but you need
justice.
Both. Mm-hmm. You need both. And so what happens, we'll get action alerts from the Bishops' Conference, either through the Bishops' Conference directly or from Catholic Relief Services if it involves an international item. And then we'll call or write our congresspeople and either get them to sign on to bills or support a bill. And so that's very important, because the poor, domestically or internationally, cannot afford to slip any further. I mean, when you have instability, when you have such poverty overseas, it leads to violence. It leads to war.
The same can happen,
you know,
here.
Speaking of trouble and turmoil, are you in touch with the offices of CRS in other parts of the world, say like in Egypt where there was the recent peaceful revolution?
Yes, and CRS has been working in Egypt for over 50 years. So the staff is safe as far as I know. And for a while the programs were on hold and they weren't able to report into work, but they're back up and running now.
Well, that whole Middle East area is such a hotbed right now.
Yes.
And I know Catholic Relief Services are present in many of those countries. Like
we're not
over
in
100.
Libya, but
no, we're not in Libya.
But we're in Egypt and Palestine.
And on occasion, Israel. Christians get targeted specifically for being Christians. So,
oh, sure.
These are real martyrs, some of these folks who are really risking their lives.
No, like even a little side story that's interesting is take that one Chicago Bulls player, Luol Deng, mm-hmm. and having a phenomenal year like the rest of the Bulls are. And Luol Deng is trying to always promote his home country of Sudan.
Yes.
And talking about the poverty and the violence in his home country, mm-hmm. and trying to provide relief and money and supplies. You know, he is doing a phenomenal job of trying to get the word out about his home country, where at the age of 5, his family fled Sudan.
Mm-hmm.
But he remembers vividly those earliest years from Sudan. He says it's now, I think there's been a separation of states, north and south.
Yes.
But that's a talk about a poverty ridden country. And here's someone like Luol Deng is playing for the Chicago Bulls and then sending money and supplies and food back home to the mm-hmm. home country. So, Adrian, give us a phone number and a web that people can contact you and learn more about Operation Rice Bowl for their own family, because it would begin 2 days from now.
Yes. They can call me at 312-534-8367.
Then number once again.
312-534-8367.
And a web?
ACURRY at archchicago.org.
Once again.
ACURRY, CURRY at archchicago.org.
Now, they were to go to www.archchicago.org. Would that help at all?
No, they need to call me directly because it's right now it's getting late.
Okay.
I can send stuff out still.
By calling you directly that
by
number?
By calling me direct or sending me an email.
Well, we want to thank you, Adrian, for the good work you do, for the great work that CRS does through Operation Rice Bowl and many, many other efforts. So let's hope that many of us will adopt this as part of our Lenten practice this year.
Thank you.
Keep up the great work, Adrian.
Thank you.
God bless you.
God bless you, too.
After this break, we'll be back, and we'll speak to one of our local pastors, Father Brittle Birchmans of St. Paul the Cross in Park Ridge, about an upcoming mission he'll be giving. Don't go away.
Catholic teens and young adults are preparing for World Youth Day 2011 in Madrid, Spain. The Archdiocese is sponsoring an exciting and inspirational 9-day trip for this coming August.
World Youth Day is a week-long spiritual journey during which teens and young adults from around the world unite to share their faith.
The Archdiocese organized trip to Madrid will include daily mass, catechesis, festivals, walking tours, and all the events scheduled with the Holy Father Pope Benedict the 16th.
That includes a welcoming ceremony, an evening candlelight vigil, and the closing mass. And for young people not going to Madrid, there's a wonderful World Youth Day celebration planned at Our Lady of Guadalupe Shrine in Des Plaines.
The regional event will bring together young Catholics from Illinois, Indiana, and Wisconsin. There will even be a giant TV hookup so you can pray along with the Pope during the closing mass in Madrid.
go to the Archdiocese website, www.archchicago.org, and click on World Youth Day. You'll find information regarding travel to Madrid, our local festivities, and a link to the official World Youth Day website.
Plan now. Be part of this inspirational and memorable celebration of our faith.
World Youth Day 2011.
Catholic Charities West Region invites you to its annual St. Patrick's Day party Thursday, March 10th from 6:30 to 9:30. Enjoy hearty Irish fare and entertainment by the McNulty Dancers, Shannon Rovers, and Tributosaurus Trio at Fitzgerald's in Berwyn. Tickets are $50 in advance or $60 after March 1st. All proceeds benefit Catholic Charities Transitional Housing Program. For tickets or information, call 708-329-4022 or visit catholiccharities.net/stpats.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
And welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio 950 AM. The time is 9:31 on this Monday morning. In Chicago, and Gratz realized that 2 weeks from today is the first official day of spring.
Oh, I thought you were going to say baseball season starting.
That'll be 2 weeks after that, because we're into preseason.
That's right, and Lent means spring.
Lent means springtime, and along that exact line we have with us via the phone, Father Brito Birchmans, the outstanding pastor of St. Paul the Cross Parish in Park Ridge, one of the great priests, the Archdiocese of Chicago. And Father Brito Birchmans will be giving a talk, we have the exact date, later this month at Divine Savior Parish in Norwich, topic, Carrying the Cross of Jesus. Father Brito Birchmans, welcome to Catholic Community Faith. How are you, Brito?
I'm doing great. I mean, it's good to be on your show.
Well, thank you for being with us.
Good to have you. You're going to start us off with a joke?
Well, you really want me to do that?
Sure.
Go ahead, Brito. You're famous for jokes.
It's got to be clean, though.
It is, believe me. So it was Ash Wednesday, and the bishop was celebrating Mass in the cathedral, and he told the people, all of us must give up something for Lent, something that really we like and care about. And he said, you know how much I love golf, so I'm going to give up golf for the whole season of Lent. And, of course, he was living in one of those sunny states in the south, and they could play golf any time. And it happened that 10 days into Lent, he was driving by the golf course, and he saw all these people playing, and his hands began to itch. And he always carried the golf bag in his car. And so he pulls into the golf course and starts hitting the ball. And he says to himself, you know, I'm not really playing. I'm just practicing. This is okay. Just then, up in heaven, a little angel is watching this, and it goes to Peter and says, hey, Peter, look at that bishop. He made a promise to the people of his diocese that he would give up golf. Look at him. He's playing. Peter says, don't worry. I'll punish him. And then he's on the third hole, and he's teeing off. He hits the ball. The ball flies through the air, catches some wind, and falls right on the green and drops into the cup. A hole in one. The bishop is dancing. And the little angel says, Peter, you said you're going to punish him. Look at him. He hits the best shot of his life. And Peter says, yes, he hits the best shot of his life. Who can he tell?
Very good, Brito.
Wow.
I like that.
This is one of the reasons I miss Father Brito.
Oh.
He used to be my pastor. You know?
Over at St. Nicholas and
Edison.
Now they're doing a great job.
Good to hear your voice.
you know, Gratz well. Now, Brito, tell us about this talk you'll be giving at Divine Savior Parish in Norwich. First of all, what is the date of the talk?
Oh, boy, I have to look at my calendar. I know it is, I think, like the 23rd, I believe, of this month.
Is it a Wednesday evening?
Yes, I believe
is
so.
Is it part of the Divine Savior yes. Wednesday evening prayer group?
Right.
Charismatic group. I know that involves with Donna Albert and other
yes,
people in
yes.
charge of that group. And
at 7:30 on the 23rd, which is a Wednesday.
Is it going to be in church?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know
I
those details. I know that
I'm on the parking lot.
It'll be on the putting green.
Well, tell us, Brito, carrying the cross of Jesus. I have a question. What does it mean to carry your cross?
Okay. Well, you know, the Lord is very clear when he says to his disciples, if you want to be my disciple, you have to deny yourself, carry the cross after me, and follow me. And I think a lot of Christians have confusion about what does it mean to carry the cross. I start with actually the story of Peter. As you know, Peter denied the Lord, and the legend goes that Peter was in Rome, and when the persecution started under Nero, and the community told Peter to leave the city because he had to save himself because they needed him. So Peter is running down the old Appian Way, leaving the city, and there he sees Jesus coming towards him carrying the cross. And Peter asks the Lord, of course you have to speak to the Lord in Latin, he says, Quo vadis Domine? He says, where are you going, Lord? And the Lord says, I'm going to Rome to suffer and die. And the story goes that Peter turned around and came back to Rome, and he was crucified upside down. That is a great example of Peter, and for me, the cross is the suffering that comes to us inevitably in our life, not the suffering that we look around for and suffering that we are responsible for sometimes. You know, if you have a headache, you better take Excedrin, otherwise you will become a headache to everybody around you. But there are sufferings that come to us inevitably every day. You know, disappointments and sicknesses, we are getting older and you know, rejection, broken relationships, and all sorts of sufferings that come our way. And they somehow allow us to participate in the suffering of Jesus, as Paul would say. So for me, that is what I'm talking about. And I think especially in the American culture, where we have become a culture of self-indulgence and immediate gratification, we don't even talk about words like sacrifice or mortification, words that I grew up with as a kid. So, I don't know.
You know, it's interesting. You know, I love that word you use, sacrifice. You know, Brito, you are absolutely right. We do live in a culture, in a society, that we no longer use the word sacrifice. In fact, the only time you really hear the word sacrifice on a regular basis, and I'm not trying to be funny here, but in a baseball game, sacrifice bunt, sacrifice fly.
Yes.
And the word sacrifice means that hitter is giving himself up with a sacrifice bunt to move the runner along.
Right.
But I hate to say this, we live in a society, we don't use the word sacrifice
yep.
or want to be part of sacrifice in our lives.
Religion and sports for 500, please.
Exactly. And I'll hit my buzzer on that one. But it's so, so true. And also the image of carrying one's cross. I think sometimes we want to carry the cross, but have training wheels attached to the cross.
Mm-hmm.
So it rolls along the ground easily. But now the Lord says in our life, and like you say, Brito, we don't have to look for the hardship of life.
No.
It will find us.
Right.
And I really think in terms of, you know, we are not in control. The death of a loved one,
right.
The house burns down, the loss of a job.
Mm.
And the thing is, I had this image once, someone said this to me. When something terrible happens to us, you lose a loved one, something tragic happens, inevitably we ask, why
right.
me, O Lord? That's a common question. I think it's probably not a bad question.
No.
So if something mm-hmm. tough happens, why me, O Lord? When something great happens to us, do we ever say, why me, O Lord?
Mm-hmm.
Something tough happens, why me, O Lord?
Right.
When something great happens, we never say, well, why me, O Lord?
Right.
You know, we never do that. So we're going to go to break here on Catholic Community Faith and Relevant Radio, 950 AM. Our phone number, 312.
Another joke after the break.
255-8408. Father Greg Sackwitz along with Grazia Marcheschi and our guest, Father Brito Birchman, pastor of St. Paul the Cross and Park Ridge, who on March 23rd at Divine Savior Parish will give a talk entitled Carrying the Cross of Jesus. Stay with us. We'll be back right after a break.
Lisa Paletto, the director of the Catholic Charities Junior Board, and this is the Junior Board Mission Minute. 60 seconds of the latest and greatest updates on events and opportunities for you to get involved. Help us raise dollars for our veterans living at Cook's Manor. A Winter's Night fundraiser will take place on February 23rd. At 5 o'clock p.m., we will meet for drinks at Elephant and Castle on Wabash and then head to Millennium Park for ice skating. Join us at our Faith Committee meeting on March 2nd and help us plan upcoming speakers in the series Faith in the Real World, which premiered in February and will feature one speaker every month until June. The Social Committee also meets in March on the 14th to plan upcoming social fundraising events. Volunteer to spend some time with the senior citizens at Ozanam Village on Sunday, March 6th. Come out for emergency assistance food packing on the first and third Tuesday of the month at 6 p.m. or join us for our Read to Me program that reads to kids in one of our shelters every Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. There's always a way to help your neighbor at Catholic Charities. Consider joining our junior board. For more information on these events and others, call 312-655-7932 or visit catholiccharities.net. And of course, stay tuned for the next Junior Board Mission Minute.
This Lenten season, join millions of Catholics throughout the U.S. in a 30-year tradition within the Catholic Church. Catholic Relief Services Operation Rice Bowl Program. Lent isn't just about giving something up, it's also about doing something positive. Operation Rice Bowl provides a way to embrace traditional themes of Lent through praying with others, fasting, and giving alms while learning about our global community. Celebrate the holy season of Lent by becoming a part of the Operation Rice Bowl community today. Visit www.crs.org to learn more.
Most interment arrangements at the 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries are made through a pre-need plan. Your thoughtful planning today is economically prudent and contributes to peace of mind for you and your loved ones. Catholic Cemeteries counselors are available at your convenience. For more information, call 708-449-6100. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
Welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith, Monday morning, 9:42 a.m. Graziano Marcheschi with Father Greg Sakowicz, the one and only anchor. We're talking to one of our outstanding pastors, Father Brittle Birchman of St. Paul the Cross in Park Ridge. You got another joke for us at the start of this segment?
Yes. Okay.
All right.
Well, there was this gentleman who was not Catholic living in a predominantly Catholic neighborhood in Chicago. This was many years ago. And everything was fine. The people got along perfectly well. But every Lent, this gentleman would be cooking his luscious steaks on the grill on Fridays. And the poor Catholics would go nuts because the aroma would waft through the air. And the Catholics would go crazy because they couldn't eat meat. So they went to their parish priest and said, "Father, you got to do something. We can't deal with this anymore." And the priest says, we can't do anything. I mean, what can we do? Maybe I'll try to convert him." And so he talked to the gentleman, and eventually the gentleman decided to become a Catholic, and the priest brought him into the church. He had a bowl of holy water in his hand. He sprinkled the gentleman and said, "You were born a Protestant, you were bred a Protestant, I pronounce you Catholic." Everything was fine until the following Lent, and the first Friday of Lent, all the good Catholics smelled steaks cooking on this gentleman's backyard. They said, "Hey, that's not right. He's a Catholic now." They all rush into his backyard. There he is standing over the grill and these thick, luscious steaks cooking. He has a bowl of water in his hand and he's sprinkling the steaks and he says, "You are born a bull, you are bred a bull. I pronounce you fish."
Wow, does that work, Father? Can we try it on Friday?
I know.
Hey, listen, earlier you were talking about suffering and participating in the suffering of Christ. What do you make of that very enigmatic verse from St. Paul? I don't mean to put you on the spot, so feel free to skip this. But Paul says something to the effect of, "I make up in my body," or "we make up in our bodies, what is lacking in the suffering of Christ." Obviously, yeah. We know nothing is lacking in the suffering of Christ.
Exactly.
We are redeemed once and for all. So what is Paul telling us in that passage?
I don't know if I understand it. What I think of is that, you know, as the pilgrim church, we are still walking towards our heavenly glorification. We are still imperfect, and there is something lacking as you know, as people on the journey. I think we by sharing in the suffering of Jesus, I think we sanctify ourselves. You know, whenever I give the talk, this talk, which I'm going to give at Divine Savior, what I tell them is that a lot of Catholics have many misconceptions about suffering. You know, we always think that, oh, God is punishing me because I did something wrong. I don't believe in a vengeful God. Our God is not like that. And then sometimes people say, oh, it is a trial. God is trying to test me. I don't believe that God tests me because, as the Psalms say, Lord, you know me and you probe me. When I sit, you know. When I stand, if I go up to the mountain, you know me. The Lord knows me. So the Lord doesn't really have to test me. He knows me through and through. And I believe that when God, the Lord gives us suffering, it is an opportunity to become more and more like his son, Jesus.
Well, is Christ still suffering through his body, the church? I mean, is our suffering well, his suffering?
I suppose, you know, when you look at it as Christ identifies himself with his church, yes, he suffers in that sense, not that he is physically suffering. As he's glorified, he sits at the right hand of the Father. I don't believe he's suffering right now, but through the church, yes, you can say that.
You know, I would want to add this. Through sacrifice, through suffering, through life's hardship, I once had a question asked of me. As one grows older, is life making you bitter or better?
Exactly.
And that's a very profound question. As all that happens to us in life, we know people, as they get older, they become mm-hmm. cynical, they become
right.
angry,
right.
they become resentful.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a great question for Lent. As I'm getting older, as we get older,
right.
is life making me bitter or better?
And
right.
it gets harder not
yes.
to get bitter. It does get harder.
Yes,
I think that's the difference between us and saints. I think I don't think sanctity is all that complicated. It's just
no.
hard as heck.
Right.
It just means taking the normal things of life and not letting them turn
you know what
bitter.
Makes it harder is as we get older, things start hurting. Things start breaking down.
Right.
When you're young, you're going to live forever.
Mm-hmm.
The aches and pains of life are so minor. But all of a sudden, it's, you know, the three of us, as we get older and we deal with aging parents, whatever the situation
right.
is, and that can make you bitter in terms of mm-hmm. why are things breaking down? Why do I need the hip replacement? Why does
right.
my back hurt? And you realize that's part of the aging process. So is it making me bitter or better?
You know,
right.
Brito, John Paul II wrote an encyclical that didn't get a whole lot of attention. I think it's a wonderful document called Salvifici Dolores, Saving Suffering, or the
right,
in which he says that through Christ's death, through his suffering, suffering itself was redeemed.
Right.
Talk a little bit about that. How has suffering itself been redeemed through Christ's own suffering and death? How does our participation in Christ's suffering redeem our own suffering and somehow contribute to the saving work of Christ?
Well, I think, as I said earlier, you know, our own culture, our own natural impulses somehow resist suffering. You know, we do our best to avoid suffering at all cost. And when suffering inevitably comes to us, I think we begin to question it, and we wonder whether I deserve this, why do I deserve this, and is it a punishment, is it a trial? And we ask all those questions, but when you look at the scriptures, it is very clear that suffering is the portion of the elect. You know, I mean, there is that old story of Teresa of Avila. I mean, Teresa of Avila, when she used to go around reforming the convents of Carmel, and she used to travel by horse carriage or whatever, and once, you know, the horses got scared and the carriage toppled and she was thrown off the carriage, she got hurt. And she used to talk to the Lord so freely, and as she was picking herself up, she turned to the Lord and said, Lord, I'm working for you. Why do you treat me like this? And the Lord replied, Teresa, don't you know this is how I treat my friends? And then she's supposed to have shot back, and she said, no wonder you have so few friends. You know, but the truth is that, you know, suffering is the portion of the elect. And I think it was Teresa who said, aut pati, aut mori, either to suffer or to die. Because for her, suffering was the way to unite herself with the Lord. And in, you look at all the apostles, everyone was a martyr. The only one who didn't die a martyr was John, but they said even John was thrown in a cauldron of boiling oil. He didn't cook. They took him out. And he's the one who died a natural death.
We're going to go to a break here, Brito, but here the you made me think of a thought, and that is Rabbi Harold Kushner wrote a book entitled When Bad Things Happen to Good People.
Yes.
And he says, when tragedy or suffering hit us, instead of asking the question, why me? The real question is, so what am I going to do about it?
Yes.
That's the key. So we're all going to have hardships, loved one dies, loss of a job. Why me, O Lord? He said, no, wrong question.
Mm-hmm.
So what am I going to do about it with the help of God? You're listening to Catholic Community of Faith here on Relevant Radio 950. Our time happens to be 950 on this Monday morning in Chicago. I'm Father Greg Sackwitz, along with Graziano Marcheschi and our guest, Father Brito Birchmans, pastor of St. Paul the Cross Parish in Park Ridge. Stay with us. We'll be back right after a break, and do not touch that dial.
The Catholic New World has been your faith resource for well over a century. Archbishop Patrick Feehan recognized the need for a strong Catholic voice in 1892 and launched Chicago's first Catholic newspaper. Bishop Feehan named our Catholic newspaper using a theme from the Columbian Exposition, the new world that gave people hope for a brighter future. Today, the Catholic New World is better than ever. It's a rich and diverse resource for Chicagoland Catholics with stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Cardinal Francis George and our team of columnists offer compelling insights on spirituality, catechesis, and evangelization. Visit our website at CatholicNewWorld.com. View our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and while you're there, subscribe to the Catholic New World or call 312-534-7777. Our look has changed, but we are still your faith resource. Subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
Each night, thousands of families face homelessness in Chicago. Those families aren't just statistics. They're your neighbors, your friends. They could even be part of your own family.
I had lost my job, so I wasn't working, and I had run out of all my savings, so I ended up losing my apartment. And I went to stay with my sister, but she's got this small little itty-bitty condo, so we were all sleeping on the floor. So I started calling around for the housings and everything, and they told me to call Catholic Charities, and it just happened when I got through, Joanne answered the phone, and she goes, you know, you got me just at the right time. We're actually doing interviews right now. You want to come in? And she gave me the whole rundown of everything and how the program works and everything. She goes, is this something you can do? And I looked at her and says, you're offering me a roof over my head, something more than I've got right now. And I'm willing to do anything to keep that roof over my head.
Catholic Charities of Chicago is there to provide a helping hand to the homeless. Find out how to help us help the most needy. Visit CatholicCharities.net.
Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio AM 950. Welcome back and thank you for being here with us. I'm Graziano Marcheschi, co-hosting with our anchor, Father Greg Sackwitz. Today we're talking about Lent, and we're speaking with Father Brito Birchmans, who holds a PhD in communications. That's why he's able to tell such good jokes.
Yeah. Where'd you get your PhD from, Brito?
University of Illinois in Champaign.
Oh, excellent.
Terrific. Even though he's originally from India,
yes.
He spent a lot of years in Rome, and you used to be a member of the
Salesians of Don Bosco.
Don Bosco, yes, the Salesians. He was a. Did you know that the Salesians are the biggest? Are you guys still? Are those guys still the biggest community in the world?
No, second. Jesuits are first.
Oh, Jesuits are number one?
Of course.
So,
of course.
Brito, what year were you incarnated into the Archdiocese?
2002.
Okay, so here for 9 years.
Yes, but I was here before that. I was here for 3 years at St. Anne's as a.
An associate.
Well, I was going through the process, yeah.
Out in Barrington there.
Right.
And the thing is that, go ahead, Greg.
Yeah, and the remains of St. John Bosco were making their way around
the
country.
They came over here, yes.
Yeah. Oh, he came to your parish there?
No, not to my parish. I think they came here to the city, but not to the parish.
And one thing I want to say is a part of your talk, I know you're talking about Lent is a journey of Jesus to Jerusalem. And I want to share this with the listeners. That image, when Jesus did his 3 years of public ministry, he was always making his way to Jerusalem. Well, Jerusalem is, of course, a very important city, but also it's a code, symbolic word. Jerusalem referring to the city of hope. What happens when Jesus is crucified? The disciples fled, and now you have that beautiful story, the road to Emmaus,
right,
where they are leaving Jerusalem, and they're, because in their mind, the Lord is crucified, the dream is over, he is dead. They meet the stranger on the road to Emmaus. They come to recognize it is the Lord in the breaking of the bread. And what do the disciples do? They turn around and go back to Jerusalem, the city of hope,
mm-hmm,
where they thought the dream was gone. It's now hopeless. So the whole public ministry of Jesus making his way toward Jerusalem, the city of hope. He dies. It is over. They leave Jerusalem. They recognize the Lord in the breaking of the bread. He is risen. He is alive. They go back to Jerusalem to tell the others. So part of Lent, and I think you're referring to this before, Brito, Lent, beside sacrifice, you know, prayer, almsgiving, and fasting, it's also a time of hope.
Right.
Talk about that for a second.
Well, I mean, we are not, as Christians, we are not just hung up on suffering. We are suffering because we are looking towards glorification. And Good Friday inevitably leads to Easter Sunday. And that is always the hope that we have. As Paul says, you know, our own sufferings are temporary, but our glorification is eternal. And so even when the Christian bears the cross, he knows that there is an end to it. There is a Calvary, but then from Calvary comes the empty tomb. And so we carry the cross with a smile on our face because we are looking forward to uniting with the Lord in his glory. And I think that's what gives people hope, that this suffering is not meaningless. It has a meaning because it has an end and it is towards the glorification. That is very clear in all the, you know, all the writings about the sufferings of Jesus in the Gospels and in the writings of Paul. You know, through the cross, we enter into his glory.
Picking up on that theme of hope, on Ash Wednesday, we hear from the book of Joel, rend your hearts, not your garments, and return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, rich in kindness, and ready to relent. Talk about that scripture a little bit. How does it set a theme for Lent for us?
Well, I think sometimes, even as good Catholics, we can just get caught up with a lot of the external things. You know, yes, I'm giving up this, I'm doing this sacrifice, I'm doing a lot of prayer. But if we miss the heart of it, that is, if our hearts are not into it, we are doing it just because we like to do many things, I think they will not benefit us at all. Whereas if our hearts are in the right place, and that is why I think even in the Lenten liturgies, it's all about the heart, you know, where say, create in me a clean heart, O God. We say, the prophet Ezekiel, I will take away your hearts of stone and give you hearts of flesh instead.
And on that note, Brito, we're actually running out of time, so we need to bring this program to a close. I want to thank Father Brito Birchmans,
sure,
pastor of St. Paul the Cross in Park Ridge, an outstanding priest in the Archdiocese, who on Wednesday, March 23rd, will speak on the topic, Carrying the Cross of Jesus, at Divine Savior Parish at 7:30 p.m. as part of the Divine Savior Charismatic Prayer Group that evening. And you can call Divine Savior Parish in Norwich to learn more about it. Believe me, you will not be disappointed. Father Brito is an outstanding speaker. Thanks also to our co-host, Grazia Marcheschi, another outstanding, excellent job. Graz, to our producer, wonderful work by Jim Dish, great work by our engineer, Michael May. To all of you, God's blessings for a very blessed, blessed, prayerful, holy Lent. Bye-bye.
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day and God bless you.